Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to your, I was about to say your local Grey's Anatomy channel.
Could be.
Not at all what this is. But we are a deep dive podcast going through all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy. We are currently in season 18, episodes 13, 14, and 15, which is crazy. And if you haven't watched through season 19, then make sure you do that first, because we're going to spoil a lot of things for you.
Yes. And we don't want you to be mad at us. So watch So please watch all of those episodes if you care about spoilers. You can support us at patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can be an intern, resident, or attending. And that's $2, $5, or $10 a month. And with each of those things, you get different bonus features. So you can be a part of our Facebook group. You can have a Zoom chat with us. You get bonus episodes. You get the podcast a day early. It's all there on the Patreon. Just head on over, read what you get. A new thing we started is getting a second opinion. So you can email your audio messages to theoncallroom@gmail.com if you have feelings about previous episodes,
things we
talked about, or if you're, you know, watching season 19 and you have things you want to talk about there, go ahead and send them over to us.
Yeah. And another way that literally supports us, we would not be putting out the podcast weekly without your help. So thank you so much to those of you who are new supporters and longtime supporters. Another way, if you aren't able to monetarily help us, you can rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Five scalpels, please. And one of the really great things we have for our patrons is called Post-Op, where after we call time of death, we continue talking. Today, we are going to talk about Todd, Joe's new little crush, and just about the actor that plays him, as well as what we think of the storyline and anything to do with that. So if you have some thoughts or you care to hear about Todd, you gotta be a patron.
I think that's all the housekeeping.
Yeah. Are we getting better at it, listeners? Are we getting faster?
Yeah, I feel like that was like 2 minutes, pretty quick. Jump right
crushed
in.
It.
It's been a Monday.
Yeah, it's been a Monday and it's disgusting outside.
Yeah, it's a real bummer because last week, and I know we're not like a weather podcast, but I just want to say that last week was lovely. Beautiful weather, like almost too beautiful for spring in Michigan.
Yeah.
And then today we're snowing again. And so it's a real bummer. I feel like if it would have continued to kind of be like this even last week, it'd be like, yeah, it's still shitty. But to have that taste of like 5 days of 70 to 80 degree weather, it's like, fuck you, Michigan, for doing that and then bringing us right back down to the 40s. It's not fair.
And like, I love an 80 degree day, but I wasn't quite prepared for it. Like when it got, like when I was shooting my wedding on Saturday, I was hot. And I was like, this is not quite, like I enjoy this, but I think I want some 60 degree days, you know? Like I wasn't ready to dive in.
Yeah. I mean, we went from like spring to summer, but now we're back to winter. It's all confusing. And so it just throws off the mood of the
week. It really does. It really throws off the mood. Also, yesterday, I took a Zyrtec, which I've done before. Like I took one on Saturday, the day before a huge wedding day I had, and I was fine. I don't know if it was the Zyrtec or if it was the working 11 or 12 hours the day before. And not getting sleep. It probably was those things. But either way, I felt like I was drugged yesterday. Like when I drove home from Grand Haven to Grand Rapids, I almost was like, I shouldn't be driving. You know, when you're so tired that it was like, don't worry, I made it safe and I drove responsibly. But like, you know, when like keeping your eyes open is physically difficult, but also I like couldn't sleep. Like I wanted to wait until nighttime because I went to bed early, but it was just so weird. I got a second win at like 9 p.m., which that was like when I was like, am I drugged? Because I felt better at that point. I don't know. It was so weird though. Being that tired is wild.
Yeah. That's not fun. And not, and being, or, and having to drive during that is like,
I was like listening to music as loud as possible.
I don't think you were drugged. I think you just had a wedding for the first time in months and were just, and didn't sleep well that night and were just tired.
Yeah, I had two weddings in February and felt great as hell the day after. So I don't know. It was just crazy.
But you probably slept afterwards.
Yeah. Also, shout out to my mom. My husband and I stayed at my mom's house because our house was being painted. And I slept in her bed both nights because, you know, I love Jake, but I can't sleep in a bed smaller than a king, like just kind of a disruptive sleeper. And so I went and slept with my mom because she sleeps like the dead and doesn't move and she's quiet. And if she's listening, thank you, mom. Maybe there was something I felt good about just like being a kid sleeping in my mom's bed also. I don't know. But her husband was gone. Don't worry, he wasn't in there either.
I kind of wondered about that. I was like, where's Bill?
But yeah, I didn't specify. He was gone too. And she has a king bed in her room. And okay. So
that makes just more sense. Quiet.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't want to ask because I don't know. You know, some people don't sleep next to each other. We have some friends who they don't sleep by their partner for that very reason of it's like very disruptive sleep and it's not anything against their partner. Which I think we've talked about this on the podcast that I always find that very interesting. Like part of me wants to do that, but another part of me, like I don't think, I've brought it up to John. I've even said like maybe in our older age, you know, like that might be something that we have to do. And he is like, absolutely not.
Yeah, Jake's like, that's the death of the marriage. I'm like, well, really? I don't know.
But
it was weird because once we got to our own bed last night and I had my noise machine and I had all of my, you know, my nighttime things, I like fell right asleep. So I think it's just sleeping in someone else's house. And like, it just, he felt so close to me.
Yeah, I think routine is part of it. And yeah, so I'm sorry. It's been a weird Monday.
It's all good. And here we are to talk about our favorite show. Also, I watched yesterday, my mom and I watched the 2-part Maggie farewell on Grace from season 19. And like
I almost feel like we should do a bonus episode on that.
I would love to. Let's do that. I would. And so like we watched that and then I was like, oh, crap. I turned my space heater on. I was like, oh, crap. I have to watch 3 more hours of Grey's Anatomy. Like, what was I doing? Like, why was I watching the 2 that I didn't need to watch?
Because you had to get caught up on current Grey's. You know, you had to.
Yeah, it was good. We'll talk about it maybe in a bonus episode because I mean, it was fine, but it was better. My expectations are low, so I thought it was good. You know what I mean?
I thought it was good, too. This is the only thing I'm going to say, because if we're going to talk about it in a bonus episode, I don't understand how every single character who leaves Grey's Anatomy has a better farewell episode than Meredith Grey and Ellen Pompeo. I just do not understand.
If the season 19 finale doesn't give us something with Ellen Pompeo and Meredith Grey, that means that there has to be politics involved. Like someone is fighting.
Yeah, I agree. Because it was that the Maggie thing was great, whatever. But like, I don't know. So many people have left this show. And we were talking like last season, Jackson's episode, Farewell, was,
brilliant.
Yeah, better. It's just
I was trying to think, like, you know, Kelly McCreary did a great like Grey's takeover on the Instagram that day and was answering all these questions and went back and visited set. And I was like, never in 1,000 years would Ellen have done that. Like, no. I also think it's like who's putting in the effort. And like, although Maggie's not been on the show as long as Meredith's character by far, she is like a daughter of Richard and she's been there long enough. And she seems to be, as a human, very involved in the show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, well, I would like to discuss it with you for sure.
Yeah.
Alas, we must get to Owen Hunt walking before we can even get to that. You know?
yeah, which is this week. The last little thing I will say is my husband turned 40 this weekend. And
congrats.
There were like a couple funny things. Like,
tell me.
I decorated. So he was gone at a conference in Florida. And so he flew home on his birthday. So I had the opportunity to like decorate the house because he wasn't home. And so I stayed up, till like midnight the night before, because I had all the shit I was rushing to do for his birthday. Decorating, making him cupcakes for the next day, like whatever. And so when he gets home, I don't know, I was like, I parked in the front and I was like, let's go in the front because I don't know. I had groceries. So I was like, I want to take those in the front. And so we walk in and there's all these decorations. And he was like, not that excited, which, okay, fine. But then he was like, are we having a party here? And I was like,
well, he got afraid.
I was like, no, I just, it's your 40th birthday. Like, I got him the big, like, number balloons. Yeah. I had, like, all these, like, signs that said, and I got, like, regular balloons everywhere. And he was just kind of like, oh, okay. And then later on, he was really nice about it. I think you're right that he was concerned, like, because we had already had plans.
Like, there were people around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. And he was really tired from traveling. So later on, he was, like, very happy with them. But then the gift that I got him was...
This is the best.
We are going to go to a Notre Dame football game in the fall and, like, go for the weekend. It's his favorite football team, and, like, some friends are going, and it's going to be, like, a weekend thing. But I haven't been able to get the tickets yet because they haven't gone on sale. So I just wrote it on a card and then got him a Notre Dame sweatshirt. And he opened it, and he read it, and he just looked at me. He looked at me and he was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, it's your birthday. Like, no, is that what I would choose to do for my birthday? No, but, like, it's not my birthday. And then he was very excited about it. And then he tried on the sweatshirt and it was too big, which blows my mind because it wasn't. It fits him like a sweatshirt. And I think he just likes skin tight sweatshirts. So I'm going to keep that one because it will be baggy on me to wear to the Notre Dame game.
Perfect.
I'm going to get him. But, like, everything he seemed very confused
by. I was just
going
to say, does he know what a birthday is? And also, does he know, being married to you, how you treat birthdays? Like, I feel like this is something you do.
Yeah, birthdays are a really big deal in our family. And so then... we went out to dinner.
This is so funny. He's reminding me of the character in Seinfeld. What is his name? Not Jerry.
George?
But I feel like this is how George would react to, like, what is all of this?
Yeah. And so then we go out to dinner, and then we went out to the Birch for drinks, and we had a really good time. And then the next day we went to dinner at his family's, had a Polish meal, really lovely. And so he had, like, a really big celebration. And then there's going to be that huge party in May. So, like,
yeah.
And so Sunday morning, I start taking down the decorations that he didn't care about. And he was like, why are you taking my decorations down? And I was like, it's 2 days past your birthday. And he was like, it just went so fast. I'm just so sad that it's over. And I'm like, you didn't seem excited at all. And now you don't want me taking down your decorations. And he was, I don't know. And then, so we left the balloons up. All the balloons are still
that's
up.
That's good.
And he did get, like, more excited. And then he was saying, like, he said the best birthday he's ever had. He said this before, like, his 40th, was his 35th when I got us tickets to go to the Tigers game with all of his friends.
Yeah.
Which was really sweet. He was like, then he was, like, super excited, like, 2 hours later, like, I get to go to a Notre Dame game with all of my friends. And I was like, why weren't you that excited when you opened it?
He's got bad reactions.
I think
it's a good thing you didn't have to propose to him. Because can you imagine? He'd be like, this is exciting.
This is good. Yeah. Yeah. Because then, like, later on, I mean, I made that sound like he was, like, an asshole about it. But, like, later on, he was so appreciative and, like, was super excited and was, like, appreciative of the decorations and, like, all the planning. And I had such a good birthday. But, like, in the moment, it's over, like, he is overwhelmed and doesn't
get that
know what to do. And anyway, but overall, it was really nice. And birthdays, man.
Just so listeners know, the reason I didn't know is not because I did not want to attend John's birthday or that I wasn't invited. I was working. So that's why I'm getting this good recount.
Right.
These are all real reactions from me, not acting.
Yeah, Abby was invited, but she couldn't make it. And that's okay, because she'll be at the big birthday bash.
Big birthday bash. Ready for it. I got to think of, should I come in, like, traditional Polish wear?
No, just come in normal clothes.
Normal clothes
will do. I mean, if you want to, it's really up to you. But anyway, that's the recap on John's birthday. So
I love it. Thank you for giving us that update. If I were to give you guys updates right now, they'd be very negative on my life. So I'm just going to save you all from that. And I'm going to
update next week.
Exactly. Also, what I have to say about your notes while we get into this is that I think you, like, stopped taking them at some point in episode 15. Like, there, I feel like there was like a
Yeah, I
even
did.
Your cursor is still there. Like you were.
Yeah, I. What did I do? I was on the internet. I was doing something.
Oh, because all of a sudden it ends, and I'm like, I don't know. Did she finish it?
I did, but I was ordering some prints of photos. So,
oh, good. Yeah, that's time consuming. I get it. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Right now, I have so many tabs open. I have an Amazon cart, a Wayfair cart, an IKEA cart, Bedthreads cart. None of the which I'm going to purchase because I don't have money right now. But like, I have big thoughts and dreams for my house.
I get it. I really do get it. I have that often. And then it's like, I really should just close this because this isn't happening anytime soon. And it's just taking up space. So
I don't know. Should we get into it? I feel like there was nothing and everything all at once. I'm just going to make a little note that we don't read round number three.
Great.
Okay, so I will start. This is season 18, episode 13, 14, and 15. Put the squeeze on me, road trip in, and put it to the test. Many visits to the doctor start with taking your blood pressure. It's a vital indicator of your health. But within the human body, there are many pressurized systems, and each has its own threshold and consequence for pressure. Too much pressure on the lungs can cause them to collapse to 1/10 of their size. Skulls can only take so much pressure before the brain herniates into the spinal cord. Enough pressure on the limbs can cut off the blood flow and kill them. The amount of pressure may vary, but every system has a breaking point. When too much pressure builds within your body, you might need a surgeon to relieve it. We drill burr holes, place chest tubes, cut open limbs. In life, relieving pressure is not always that easy, but it's just as important. Too much stress takes a toll on our mental and physical health, so go for a walk, meet up with a friend, dance it out, seek out the moments of joy that keep us alive. Meredith Gray.
When a patient goes into cardiac arrest, we follow a specific set of protocols to resuscitate them. Start with CPR, give oxygen, assess heart rhythm to determine if the patient needs to be shocked. If needed, push epinephrine every 3 to 5 minutes. Consider an advanced airway and need to administer additional medications. Then check the pulse and start the cycle all over again. CPR, shock, meds, pulse check, sometimes for hours, until hopefully you can change the course and save a life. Researchers studied patient codes at hundreds of hospitals. They found patients had increased survival rates at hospital with longer attempts at resuscitation. Of course, there are limits on how much we can do. As hard as we try, not every patient has a happy ending. Sometimes we just have to call it Meredith Gray.
God damn it.
I almost did it.
Okay, this one has a lot of letters. Here we go. Surgeons are put through rigorous tests just to get in the game. We endure decades of anxiety-provoking acronyms. SAT, MCAT, USMLE, ABSITE. And if we pass that gauntlet, we are rewarded with the need to log 850 surgeries and take an 8-hour multiple choice and oral exam. There's almost no time to take in the victory or even a nap. Researchers studied why some people perform better on tests. They found that it's not necessarily related to intelligence. Some people become anxious during exams and divert mental energy toward anxiety instead of expending it on finding the right answers. Others have a better grasp of how tests work. They use process of elimination and other techniques to help them make better choices. Some people study harder. They start early, make flashcards, rely on repetition to retrieve answers when they need them. Tests don't always measure how much you know. They measure how well you take tests. And tests certainly don't measure your worth. But knowing that doesn't make it hurt less when you don't succeed. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup, we have Owen Hunt, tibial plateau fracture, femur fracture, and spinal fracture.
David Hamilton, Parkinson's disease.
Ivan Sanchez, abdominal crush injuries, ruptured diaphragm, liver laceration, DIC, displaced humerus fracture.
Laura Eames, mitral valve insufficiency, pregnancy, aorticaval compression syndrome, mitral valve insufficiency. Oops, that's twice.
Fernanda Lima, congenital aortic valve disease, aortic stenosis, dehydration.
Mason Taylor, brain death.
Myrna Schmidt, femoral neck fracture, tension, pneumothorax, and flailed chest.
Miranda Bailey, panic attack. Okay, here we go. David Hamilton publicly gives Meredith an offer to work at his hospital where she would be the chief of general surgery and the head of the Gray Research Facility. She feels triggered by his actions in front of everyone, but after a talk with Kai, where we learn about David's more understanding side, Meredith is still undecided. She has Nick over for dinner that evening to meet her kids. Meredith gets sick and stays home for the day with Zola and ignores all of David's calls. She tells Zola that she is considering moving. After a hard day at the hospital where Bailey yells at her and Maggie is upset about the possible move, Meredith has to watch a wife say goodbye to her husband, she tells Nick that she's ready for a fresh start and that she's going to take the offer.
Megan and Farouk are finally leaving, and Megan gives Teddy the job of making sure Owen is completing his physical therapy. While in a huge fight, Teddy walks away from Owen, and he gets up and miraculously walks for the first time. Their fight dies down, and Teddy tells him that no matter what his idea is, he needs to come to her before making a decision about their family. She is upset that he put their entire family in danger, and she says that she would either have helped him or she would have talked him out of it.
Richard is concerned that his decision to start the Weber Method may not have ended only Schmidt's career, but other residents. He tells Catherine that he wants a full cognitive and physical workup to make sure that he is okay. He wants an unbiased opinion, so he brings in David Hamilton and Kai to administer the test. In the middle of it, he gets a call from Schmidt, who is with his mom at home. Schmidt's mom fell down the stairs and suffered major injuries. Richard has to talk Schmidt through an at-home surgery until the paramedics arrive. He resumed his test with David, where he also learned that David is poaching Meredith Grey to come to his hospital. Despite all these interruptions, Richard passed the tests.
Owen takes over the role of chief for the day so that Bailey can operate on patients, and a woman comes in and brings in an official notice that the residency program is in risk of being shut down. She brings up the Weber method, the way the students are treated, and other behaviors like lack of sleep that the residents have been suffering. Owen has to break the news to Bailey after she talks about having the best day operating.
The Medical Accreditation Board takes a visit to Gray Sloan Memorial to look at their residency program and observe if it can continue or not. They interview all the attendings as well as some of the residents and tell Bailey that although their hospital clearly is a wonderful learning environment for their students and that they give off the feeling of family, they are simply not enough physicians to keep the teaching program where it needs to be. They put the program on probation and give them a 30-day notice to try and make changes before they come back. This news, as well as the news of Meredith possibly leaving Gray Sloan, causes Bailey to yell at Meredith and have a panic attack.
Winston and Maggie are surprised by the arrival of Wendell, Winston's younger brother. He has come to visit and says that he works for a medical device sales company and that he got the job because he name-dropped his brother as well as all of Winston's coworkers. Winston opens up to Maggie about how hard it was when his mom had cancer because his brother and his dad took up so much of everyone's energy. He is worried that if Wendell is back, he is going to take Winston away from time with his wife and that he might need money.
First notes, what's yours?
Mine was, did Bailey tell Ben about the kiss?
She must have, because he seems very understanding of it and he's making jokes about it. I loved his statement of how he wants to show up to work in his turnout gear. Clearly, as an intimidation factor. So I do think she told him.
Well, and so what I was wondering, because then later on in the episode, what was your first note?
That was mine. So you're good.
Oh, wow. Look at us. At the end of the episode, she's like, are we ignoring a snake or whatever. Uh-huh. And then she talks about something with someone Ben was saving, was thought he was being invited to Thanksgiving dinner. Anyway, the point is, I wonder if that scene of Bailey telling Ben was on station 19.
I bet it was, because it did seem like it was just implied. But if the storyline is kind of covering both shows.
Yeah.
I bet it was. It does just make me happy that they are beyond this, and that they're talking about their issues, because so often on this show I feel like no one talks about their issues. So that was at least oh god, thank god we don't have to talk about this. I also felt kind of bad for the resident, Jordan, because I feel like he obviously he feels bad about it, and he's not wrong. Bailey was being very friendly with him. It still was the wrong move for sure, but I think he's so embarrassed.
Well, I think, he makes a good point when he tells Bailey that she was putting off a signal. He's like, I won't do it again. But in watching the episodes, she definitely did seem to be kind of flirting with him.
For sure.
She was treating him differently than other residents. So,
yeah, absolutely. I can't even remember what happens to him, because he's obviously on this season, but he's not in season 19. So,
yeah, he's got to leave. He's got to leave at some point.
I also am just so frustrated by this year's the interns. In season 19, the new interns I think are so much better. They're just given good writing compared, to this. Perez is like funny, but in a way that like makes him like say things that are not smart sometimes. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like, and I'm like, that's just not fair to them. They would clearly be smart because they are doctors and they got into this program. And sometimes the writing that they give these interns on season 18 are like, or residents, I guess, sorry, they are like, I'm just like, there is no thought behind this.
Yeah, I think they definitely put way more intention in season 19 because it's like they're revamping the show. Whereas these residents, I mean, the only ones that I feel like really have even a little bit of a storyline are Schmidt and Helm. And then Perez, mm-hmm. you're right, is kind of there for like a comedic.
Perez just says one-liners. Like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So.
And then just disappears.
Yeah.
So I just a random thought that I had. Overall, what stood out to you in this episode? Like, what do you want to talk about? What could you pick out that was good to you or, you know, held your interest?
Good or silly? Because I would love to talk about the Owen thing.
Him walking?
Yeah. I will say that I thought Teddy did a really good job. The actress, like when she's yelling at him and crying, like she really crushes it, I think.
Yeah.
And then I was just disappointed in Owen yet again in his responses. And then, but then when that scene where he takes a step and she goes, Owen, you walked. And then what does he say?
I don't even know.
I think he's like, I did.
Yeah. Which, like, I think I thought he was, like, more paralyzed. And he's not. He just hasn't walked without help.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking it was, like, more of a miracle. You know, like, oh, my God, you weren't supposed to walk and now you are. But he definitely was supposed to walk. Like yeah. he just hasn't done it. So I, like, the first time I think I found it even more, like, whatever, because I thought like he wasn't supposed to walk. Like I misunderstood his ailments. And so this time I was like, okay, it's a big deal, but it's not like the biggest deal.
Yeah. I just felt really cheesy, like something you would see in daytime soap operas. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, why is that? I wonder how they felt about that writing. I'm sure they were like, this is dumb.
I stand by my fact too, because I saw Kevin McKidd in a couple interviews before the recent season 19 episodes. And if they had just let him have a Scottish accent, I think we'd like him so much more.
I think so, too.
It's less like yelly and more just like charming. You know what I mean? So even if he's like doing horrible things, he has like a charming lightness to his voice. I feel like when he uses, which he has a great American like accent, like I don't want, he's good at it, clearly. Like you would not know, but it's just always so angry.
Yeah. It is. You're right. It's very. And he always has a furrowed brow.
Furrowed.
Yes. So Teddy, she ends up, I think we talked about this last week, where she ends up finally saying to him that like Owen made a choice that affected their family without even consulting her. And Owen kind of hits back with like, or I think he starts it with like, you support dying with dignity. And she's like, I still support it. Like, of course right. I do. But like, it's not about that. And I feel like this is just classic Owen. I don't know how you feel about this. Are you happy or annoyed that he like that it gets resolved so quickly?
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because I feel like the law hasn't gotten involved yet. You know what I mean? Like, I think at this point they think they're in the clear. But right. like as because soon as it starts to take a legal turn, which I got a little spooked, you know, when the lady that came to do the accreditation was like, and I noticed some of those patients have died. I was like, dun, 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 you know.
Yeah. You're right, because I was kind of like, they're still like pissed at each other in season 19. And I'm like, why? But you're right. It's because Owen like lost his license and spoiler alert.
Yeah. I did like him. I like the idea of him acting as chief for the day, because I do think like I'm pretty sure out of all of the chiefs we've had, he was the longest running chief like of the show time. I could be wrong. I don't want to don't hold me to that. But he definitely outdid Richard, which is just crazy that Richard is still there, but not chief anymore. Why wouldn't something I'll never understand. But anyway, so I like that little aspect of it where, and you know, it's sad when he has to break that news to Bailey, but I liked him being chief for the day. That felt like reminiscent a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
It's really wild to me, and this is spoiler for season 19 if you haven't seen it yet, but it's really wild to me that there's this huge storyline in this season about Meredith getting this dream offer in Minnesota. And part of me, I remember watching these and reacting to them and being like, you know, it kind of makes sense that Mare wants to get away from the hospital, that they have this like idea of who she is. And I think mm-hmm. I would have like liked her just to go to Minnesota on this amazing offer instead of stay in Seattle and then immediately go to Boston. Like this, because he's giving her the same thing that Jackson is, which is a research center to research whatever she wants. And this would just have made so much more sense to me.
I totally agree, especially even though this annoyed the shit out of me when she's laying in bed with Zola and Zola's like, we'd follow you anywhere, mom. I'm like, yeah. Okay, kids. Wow, Zola, you're very mature. But I do feel like, yeah, that story could have been wrapped up. She would have ended up with Nick Marsh. Like, she would have brought her kids there for research. And then, yeah, I think that's why, like, the next season, it feels so annoying because we just went through this and then the choice to leave, she ends up staying, you know?
Right, which I don't know that, I guess, if I'm remembering, it's not really her choice because they kind of, like, throw the program at her face and everyone else leaves. So she feels like she has no out. But I just feel like it would have been such a cleaner exit. Then again, would Meredith have left... you know, with the program in the state that it will be at the end of the season, I don't know, but I wish they could have figured that out because this would have been such a better, I felt like her watching the woman, the husband die, you know, and like her, the woman being there and what Bailey said to her. I mean, I don't want them to end on bad terms, but like, it makes sense to me where she's like, why would I stay in the place where the only memories they have of me are like being in residency? Like, I want to start fresh. And that makes sense to me.
Yeah. It made sense to me, too. I thought it was an interesting scene when Meredith yells at Bailey and says, like, don't speak to me that way and don't speak to him that way. I feel like I was like happy to see that because I feel like Meredith has taken a lot of shit from Bailey and a lot of it she has deserved. Don't get me wrong. But like in this moment, I don't feel like she deserved it. And then she starts, you know, Bailey gets upset with Nick. And it was kind of nice to see Meredith like stand up for herself and stand up for Nick in a way of like, you don't get to talk to people this way, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that like the things that Bailey were saying were so inappropriate. Like it was one thing to talk about like her leaving, you know, the program, but to like bring up Derek and to bring up like having sex in cars and like, and he's married, you know, like that just felt like it was a little below the belt is the phrase, you know, like it just was like unnecessary. It's clear that Bailey's going through something. It also felt out of character for Bailey a little bit. I don't know.
I know. I agree. It did feel out of character.
Then again, it kind of felt like when Bailey was upset with Mare in season 17 or the one when Mare is like broke the law, you know, and like the, or maybe that's 16. It was 16.
I think that's
16. Yeah, because I do feel like Bailey has lost some of her soft spot for Meredith, you know?
Yeah.
But it was an intense scene for sure.
Well, and then you think that Bailey's having a heart attack, but she's actually having a panic attack.
Panic attack. Yeah. I liked when Bailey's like talking to Maggie and she's like, is this one of those days where I tell people things that are supposed to be secrets? You know, like about Richard taking a test and then about Meredith leaving. And she just, it's like one of those days. She's having a Monday. I bet it's a Monday.
Yeah, I'm sure. Speaking of Richard, yeah, he wants to get tested because he feels like he's made a lot of poor choices. You know, the thing that culminated was he wanted to do surgery and Bailey stopped and was like, we need to get a CT on this guy. And they wanted to put in like a chest tube or something. And had they done that, like the patient would have died because they had tear in their diaphragm and all their organs were like, I know a lot about medicine. So, you know,
wait, I'm confused what you're talking about. Did I miss this?
I think maybe. So like, it was the python guy, the guy who had a python wrapped around.
I would like to talk about the snake because honestly, the snake was exciting to me.
Yeah. So we, yes, we will absolutely get back to that. But so
I would like to talk to Gigi after this.
they were going to do like a, I don't know, like a chest tube or something. Uh-huh. And Bailey was talking about something about crush injuries or like, or caught something. And Richard was like, no, it's fine. And Bailey was like, no, we need to do a CT first. And then the CT showed that there was like a tear in the diaphragm. And so like his liver and bowels and stuff were up like through the diaphragm. And so had Richard gone with like and done what he wanted to do, like would have punctured all these organs.
Oh God.
And that's when Richard is like, I've been making poor decisions. Like, you know, the Weber Got method it. And then that surgery or that thing. So nothing bad happened from that. But like, he's like, I want an assessment done. And so
yeah, I thought it was like very convenient that he's like, I'm going to bring in someone unbiased. And like, of course, it's like Kai and Hamilton, like out of all of the people in the entire world, let alone like also Seattle doctors. Like, I'm really surprised that, or I'm not surprised, but I'm like, how convenient to bring in two characters that we already know. But
yeah.
I thought the test, we've talked about this, I remember in our reactions, like I remember saying like, that looks fun. I want to try that test. Like, I don't know what all those things mean, but I really enjoyed the part about Amelia talking to Kai about what Richard means to her. And she said the phrase, I have been, I gotta find it. Oh my gosh, where is it? Something like, I've been helping him. All he needs to do is like believe in himself. And I've been helping him do that for a very long time. And I feel like Amelia and Richard's like relationship is one that I've always really, really loved. And like her relief and his relief when it went okay, followed by David Hamilton's handshake and saying like, it's all like, not everyone gets a second chance at operating. I thought that was like a really like beautiful moment in, you know, of the whole thing.
And then I loved when Kai said to Amelia, he's your David.
Like, yes. Because Amelia puts everything in context.
Yeah. Amelia like apologizes for how she was behaving that day. And Kai's like, I get it. He's your David. But happy to see. And honestly, not a bad idea. I know like Bailey was like really pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe she was more like, can it wait a week? Because like a lot's going on today and I need you. But like, I really appreciate that. I mean, because Richard is older and he has been doing this a very long time. He's questioning his judgment. And so he was getting ahead of it. As like the chief, I would be like, thank you for doing that, you know?
Right. I feel like it's responsible and yet came at a bad time. But also now he's going to move forward so much more confidently than he would have before. And I think also him talking Schmidt through the operation with his mom, too, was like more proof. I was confused why David was interviewing Schmidt. Was that just because so they could get like a read on Richard? Was that just like they wanted a person's perspective of him? At first, I thought Schmidt was being interviewed by the accreditation board, but then I realized it was Hamilton. And I was like, what's happening? Yeah,
I don't really understand that either. Maybe if a listener has an idea, they can call in for getting a second opinion. Because
wasn't that weird? It's like Richard was being interviewed by the woman at the same time as Schmidt was being interviewed. And I thought they were like side by side. And then I was like, wait, is Hamilton working for the accreditation board? But I'm wondering if they just wanted an opinion on Richard because Levi was the one who was in that surgery. It was so strange. I felt so bad too. I was like, Schmidt's mom is in surgery. Why are you interviewing him right now? Like, let him go be sad and scared.
Yeah. Which we should talk about the accreditation thing because it was Schmidt's mom, right?
Yeah, who was tweeting out about hashtag GSM, hashtag Graceland Memorial, which is, I feel like such a, it was interesting when he was yelling at his mom. He was basically, because his mom was like, they can't let you do this, whatever. Schmidt was like, they didn't mean to. It was me. It's not actually my fault. Every surgeon loses someone. I was like, oh, Schmidt needs to listen to his own advice. Like by backing up the hospital, I was like, he's basically taking the guilt off of himself and like normalizing that like this will happen and blah, 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 which I think will help him when he comes back, that he clearly does feel that way. Also, shout out to that stunt double, I would guess, that fell down the stairs. That was wild.
Took a serious tumble and
Scarlett that, takes a tumble.
Yeah, that is exactly what I was thinking. And that the way like she landed on her neck, I was like, oh, God, that was.
Yeah.
Stairs are really dangerous. You know, you gotta.
I know. And I'm thinking about getting some put in my living room. Should I not? Should I? What if I fall down them?
Well, I think
who's going to perform a thoracotomy? I don't know what it's called. Oh, who's going to perform something on me?
Yesterday, I was putting more seeds together in the basement. And then I had come upstairs and then I went upstairs to watch Grey's Anatomy and John had a Zoom call he had to do. I think he forgot that, like, I kind of waved at him and I was like, I'm going to go up and watch Grey's. He ended the Zoom call and then he comes upstairs. And he's like, oh, here you are. Like, I thought you'd been in the basement this whole time. And I thought to myself, she's been down there a really long time. And I was like, good to know that you didn't come check on me. And he was like, well, I didn't really feel like going in the basement. And I was like, great to know that if I do fall and slip and hit my head in the basement, you don't really feel like going down there.
No one's gonna come looking. Yeah, I think about that constantly being home alone. I'm like, what if I, like, who? Jake doesn't get home till late and he goes right into the bathroom.
Yeah, he like, doesn't care.
There's
man.
No, sometimes there's not even a high. He's just straight clothes off into the bathroom. That's like the first thing he does for a shower and a you know what. And so I'm just like, well, I would not make it. That's for sure. And he's a paramedic. I still wouldn't make it. Also, with him going to be working 24-hour shifts, you're going to have to check on me. You're going to need like a 12-hour. If I don't respond, oh, you got to check on me.
Yeah, I have I don't know if I have a key, but I'll make sure I have one.
Should I get a camera installed? No, that's too much.
That's too much.
I need a bracelet like old people have. I honestly think everyone should wear one of those.
Like a life alert thing? Yeah.
Yeah, well, those are amazing.
And honestly, though, like we probably don't go more than 12 hours without talking to each other, at least a
text.
That's
true.
So, yeah, I think if you're not responding,
you might get worried. And can you track me? Because I can track you. I hope it's like I have a lot of our friends on Find My Friends. I think you have me. I've shared it with anyone.
Yeah, I think I have you. So that's so good. Sometimes but that's not going to help if you're like
that's
laying
true,
on the ground.
That's true. Sometimes I like lay in bed at night and I'm anxious about life and I just look on Find My Friends and I see that all my friends are tucked away in their nice little homes.
Oh,
and
like, that's really sweet.
Everyone is doing well. I have my friends in Honduras. I have you guys. I have some other family friends. I have my mom and I'm just like, looks good. Everyone's in bed.
What if I'm like out in a lake or something? You're like, oh,
well,
shit.
Then I would come looking for you. I'd be the first. I made Reva share her location with me when she went on her solo trip. I was like, someone
me
needs
too.
To have this.
Oh, I had her location as well. And I didn't check it very often. And at one point I checked it and she was in the middle of a body of water. And I was like, and I texted her like, dude, are you okay? Like your location says like you're in water. And she happened to be on like a ferry boat.
A boat? So, oh, that's good. That's like my mom who is listening. She's always listening. She will... Like whenever I'm flying on days where I'm traveling, she'll be like, looks like you made it to Minnesota. And I'm always like, thank you for someone caring. Like Jake never knows where I am or like what flight number I'm on. At least my mom always knows my flight number. So someone's making sure I'm alive.
That's so funny that Jake never asked for that information. I always ask John.
No, never. He's just like, I trust you. I'm like, okay, but do you trust the airplane? Haven't you seen that documentary where that airplane disappeared?
Also, because like the one time that like you forget to ask, like, what hotel are you staying at for the conference or whatever? Like your phone, like there's going to be an emergency. Yeah. Your phone's going to die or fall in a toilet. And like your husband's not going to know where you're even staying. So you got to share that info. Or I like know. That one time with you and me when we didn't share info in when we went to Cabo and I didn't know where we were staying. You
That's
always should know
time
where
you did
you're
that.
Staying. Yeah.
Mi amiga está ahí. She's outside. Help. I need to help her. That's me. Oh, my God. Okay. We got to get to some things before we run out of time. I'm have nothing to say about the Wendell storyline because I don't love it. Like, I'm just like, here we go. First of all, if anyone surprised me by acting like a dead body, absolutely not to that. That's like not the time and place for a surprise.
Also, that nurse who was like, he said I wouldn't lose my job. It's like, well, bitch, you should.
Yeah, bitch, you're fired.
It's very inappropriate.
That was wild. Also, the thing that he's, I can't remember if he actually works with this company or he's fake. There's something fishy about it. But the thing that he's trying to sell to Owen, I'm like, I don't know, like, why a drone delivering a defibrillator? Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know that's necessary. I feel like maybe public places should just have defibrillators. Like, why? What app do I have to call the drone? What, like, old person is going to have the right app to call the drone, you know?
Yeah. There is something about this app that you can be, if you're like, I wonder if Jake knows about this, that, like, as a citizen, if you, like, know CPR or something, you can, like, register. And so if you're closer than, like, an ambulance, you can arrive.
Whoa, that's wild.
Yeah, you should tell Jake about that.
He'd be like, nah, don't want it. Like, nah, dog. Don't want that pressure on me.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Loved the snake story. Just going to say that. I thought it was funny. And I don't know. I love snakes. I don't love snakes, but I loved Winston's reaction to it. And it was just kind of freaky. Like, imagine being bitten and suffocated. Also, so scary when he's like, every time you breathe, it's conditioned to squeeze you tighter. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So scary.
I liked how, like, Helm kept disappearing. Like, it was just like, no.
Yeah. Helm was great. Helm is really moving up there in my favorite characters.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a wild, wild story. And then they just shut all the doors and I'm like, now there's just a freaking python
In a car.
Yeah. What are we gonna do? But I guess animal control was being called. I was really surprised that Winston knew, like, you're gonna spray rubbing alcohol. I'm like, how does he know all this?
He loves snakes, Bree.
Okay, you're right.
And now we all know that as well. So if you're being constricted by a boa constrictor, I will spray rubbing alcohol in its face. A python. Sorry. Thank you. I will spray that in its face and save you from it. I told Bailey, it was like, oh God, when it raised its head. Also, I would not be the one to grab the snake's head. Absolutely not. I'll help carry it, but I will not grab its head.
No.
I liked how Link was like, oh God.
And Link was like, I didn't volunteer. And they all kind of look at him and he's like, fine. I guess I'll do it. But this is awful. Okay, we should just briefly touch on the accreditation and, like, what the result was.
Yeah, I really appreciated the final, like, I'm jumping to the end of it because I think that's what I, like, brought it all together for me, which I didn't write the entire quote, but I have part of it and I want to read it. It says, when it comes to residents' well-being, Grace Sloan Surgical Department is one of the best that I've seen. The residents seem genuinely excited about their work and your attendings care enough to be nervous about these meetings. The sense of community and family is completely palpable. And Dr. Weber, he's impressive. And then she says, it was almost enough to override what we see on paper, that there are not enough surgeons to maintain an effective teaching program. But I'm going to have to place Grace Sloan on a probation effective immediately. I love this idea of, like, that their community and everything is, like, very palpable and, like, it is a sense of family. Because I feel like, actually, it felt like a great metaphor of the show. Like, we understand your sense of family, but on paper, we need to do better.
Yes.
But just, like, it, like, reassured Bailey of that, but then that's not actually reassuring. I don't know. I just like that idea that it's purely logistics.
Yes. Yep. So, I think it's interesting. I think, spoiler alert, what frustrates me about this is, like, I know that it gets, like, solved without us getting to actually
see.
And so it feels like another thing of, like, why are we writing in this storyline that is, like, not even going to be explored or, like, pan out in any way. So do you have any final notes or thoughts?
Just that, like, Nick met Mare's kids, which it wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh, John was watching that with me and he was like, this guy is super awkward.
He is so awkward. Which in my brain, I guess he raised his niece, but he doesn't have his own children. But yeah, he's super very awkward and just is. I don't know. Yeah. But I guess we just need to make note of that. Also, whoever just writes for these children, they're just so bad. They don't seem like real children.
No.
It's like the weakest link of the show, in my opinion, is, like, anything involving the children. Also, that scene with Link and Kai was really strange. When Kai's like, you must be Scout's dad. And Link's, like, about to say something mean or something. And then Amelia steps in and like stops him from having like a hissy fit. I wonder that was all about. But I thought it was good that like the way Kai referenced Link was Scout's dad. But then he's like, you've met Scout. You know what I mean? Like just typical.
Yes.
It was aggressive.
I think the other important thing that we forgot to mention is that like Amelia kind of asked him to like be friendly, because like you don't want us to end up like your parents. And Link is like, I need a while to like hate you, because if I don't hate you, I love you. And she kind of is like, and walks away. So that's where those two are at right now.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe in that, but I liked that line. Like that felt very like drama. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I can't love you, then I have to hate you. So that's, yeah, like you said, that's where they're at. Other than that, I guess we'll talk about Todd in post-op, which will be a fun little topic. And make sure you stick around. I actually don't know how many episodes are left, but there's not many.
Yeah.
So we're coming close to the end, everyone. Stay tight with us and just like hang in there. That's all I gotta say.
We have to do notes and trivia.
Yeah, so I'll start it. This episode's title originated from the song Put the Squeeze on Me, originally sung by Teresa James and the Rhythm Tramps.
It scored 4.24 million viewers.
It features the 400th appearance of Chandra Wilson as Miranda Bailey across the three shows in Grey's Anatomy Universe.
Wow. This episode's title originated from the song Road Trip and originally sung by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I am in a Red Hot Chili Peppers phase again.
So really? That's funny.
I am, yeah. I know. This episode scored 3.93 million viewers.
Michelle Lynn does not appear in the episode, but the OR board has a lipoma excision and a Z-plasty of a cheek scheduled to be performed by a surgeon named M. Lynn, most likely a misspelling of her name.
Taryn's dialogue also confirms that it is Dr. Lynn performing the procedures.
Okay. This episode's title originated from the song Put It to the Test, originally sung by They Might Be Giants.
It scored 4.21 million viewers.
And this episode features the 200th appearance of Camilla Luddington as Jo Wilson.
Goof. When help arrives for Myrna Schmidt, the paramedic says they're from the Seattle Fire Department. But when Myrna arrives at the hospital, she's in a standard ambulance, not one of the fire department's aid cars. That's fine. That shouldn't be a goof, because when you call 911, both arrive. The fire department usually arrives first, and then the ambulance would take you to the hospital. Not a goof. Goof. That's
absolutely correct. Goof. You're a goof. Goofy.
You're
goof, goof.
I hate that goof. Erase it. Okay, so thanks again for supporting us. Remember, if you want to hear about Todd and Joe, you'll have to be a patron. You can always go back and listen to all of the post-ops. Someone in the Facebook group asked this week when we started doing those, and someone was kind enough to answer season 9. So you have like 10, almost 10 seasons of post-ops to go back and listen to if you haven't already. Some are hilarious, some are, you know, informational, and some are just about Grace. It's a crapshoot what you're going to get.
Yeah. We have to do Catherine Fox and rate the episode.
I just want to get to post-op. I'm sorry. Okay. Catherine Fox. Maybe Schmidt.
Okay. Okay. Schmidt. For saving his mom.
He like saves his mom. He stands up for the thing. He stands up for Richard. And I think he's going to come back. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'll give it to Schmidt. I feel good about that.
He doesn't get it often. I loved his thing where he was like, my glasses fell in the body. I've gotten better. Like, I thought that was sweet. I know.
He needs his glasses.
Jake just watched that the other night.
My girl.
I woke up and Jake was up in the middle of the night watching My Girl. And I was like, are you okay? I don't think he was. It was Friday night. It was like 1 a.m.
He was not okay. Absolutely not. Okay, what are you going to rate it? I'm going to rate it a 5 out of 10 scalpels.
Same. I just did nothing. It did nothing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Also, comparing it to season 19 is making it harder to rate it higher, because I think season 19 is better.
I agree. All right. Okay. Now we're going to head into post-op. If you're a $10 patron, thank you so much. Stick around. Otherwise, other patrons, other listeners, we love you too. And time of death
is 1613.